The title of my sermon, A Lesson in Giving Gifts. I want to talk about giving gifts, but maybe the better title is Giving the Way God Gives. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Some of you are stressed out today. It's typical this time of year. You're stressed out because you still haven't got all the gifts you want to buy, and you're running out of money, or maybe you're running out of month. Whatever that might be, it's the number one stressor for Americans today, is giving gifts. Number two is cards and not forgetting. So you give early, so when that person gives, you go, oh, that's right, we haven't given one to them. Maybe you practice that. Those are some big stressors. I talked to my wife about this, and we're thinking about making a big decision here in a couple years. We're going to have a Christmas without any gifts. We're just going to have cards where we just tell the Lord how much we love him and how we love each other. Yeah. Everybody above 22 went, aw. Everybody under 13 went, that's heresy right there. And we got to do something about that preacher speaking that kind of stuff from that sacred pulpit. But I tell you what, it's a little much, isn't it? I want to talk to you about the gift of Christmas. I'd have to admit I like to see my children get gifts. When they were littler, it was maybe a little funner. It still is. I still like giving and seeing them open up their gifts. I remember my brother and I doing that. In fact, I would like to show you. I don't know, where were you in 1967? Well, some of you are in the mind of God here. But on Christmas Day, 1967, and Brother Joel, leave my mic on. I want to narrate this, okay? I want to show you where I was. And the power of gifts, the power of the greatest gift. I want you to know that Mom and Dad in this video have been saved for just 3 years. These are precious things. And you'll notice there's a couch and all five of us kids are on there. I'm the youngest. You'll see me here. I picked the right one for this. And stuff. So go ahead, Joel. That's Sambo. That was a good dog. He was born the year I was born. Yeah, look at there. That's my brother Marvin sitting there. That's Maggie and Terry. There's John. He's scratching his head there. He's 10 years older than me. And we're about to get our first gifts. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got me my football. Look at that. I still run like that. And it's Christmas Day 67 in Fairfield, Montana. Throw it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Yeah, there we go. I remember the football. I do not remember that. There's my mom, and she's picking through gifts. Do you remember this to bring back a few memories, sir? Yes, there's Marvin in his underwear. He'd kill me. showing that. Do you get this real at Christmas Day, giving gifts? I do remember that horse. I do. Yeah. You'll see a few other gifts giving here. A poodle. She loved it. There's the doll. That was Maggie standing behind it. It's a big old doll. Marvin's got a gun. Look at that. That's brand new. You can see those in like antique stores now. Yes. Yes. This is my mother. She would die. Check that out. Those were new in 67. Check that out. Isn't that cool? All right. Thank you, Joel. That's how cold it was that day. Giving gifts. something else. I looked through those this last week. I was going through trying to find the spot to show you the power of gifts. I'd like to preach to you today about giving God's way. And maybe you're like me, you have a few gifts still left. And I want to remind you how to give God's way. I think what I'm about to talk about would help you, but especially help you in knowing what a great gift God is to you today. If there's anything we have learned from God, anything, even if you're not a Christian today, we have learned that God's a giving God. He just keeps on giving. When there was nothing, he gave a plentiful earth. He gave a beautiful garden and a perfect marriage. Now, we blew it, but he gave that to us, a perfect life. He gave Noah the plans to an ark, and it saved his household. He gave him the promise. He gave Sarah a promise of a son, and she had one in her old age. His name was Isaac. He gave the Israelites the land flowing with milk and honey. He gave them a place to live, a land of their own. He gave the scriptures. Man, what do we do without this? This precious book that, by the way, today people are dying for. The Quran people are killing for. But the Bible, people are dying for. The shepherds, they gave the shepherds the gift of pronouncement that the angels, that Jesus was born. God gave the wise men a star to lead them to the stable, to give gifts to the Prince of Peace. God gave us the Prince of Peace, Jesus. You just said that amongst yourself. The gift today is Jesus. God gave Jesus the place of sinners on the cross to bear my sorrow and yours and his shame. And Jesus gave his life for me. And for you. I mean, how many times have you heard me say give or gave? He's just, everything we know about life today is because of Jesus giving and God giving. God knows how to give. He knows how to give the best gifts each and every time. It's just what we needed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is a giving God. And so I look through the scriptures, and I think this is a great piece of scripture for Christmas. And would you stand with me as we read it? I'm going to read it first, and then you're going to read it with me. It's Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 out of the New American Standard Bible. Most of you know it by heart. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you say that with me? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we thank you for your amazing gift. And Lord, in this scripture, there is such a huge contrast to what we give and to what you give. And Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds. And if there's any soul here today that does not know you, may you pierce their heart with the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This scripture does have a huge contrast. Life and death. Just to clear the slate here for a minute. There's only two things that you can do in this world. You're commanded and you're responsible to keep the whole law perfectly. Now go do it. That's what you're going to be responsible before God. Period. Or you can flee to Jesus and you can ask him to take your place and to forgive you And that's why we have this huge gift, because this other thing, this other option, the Bible doesn't even go there. We can't do it. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. In the New American Standard, they actually use the correct Greek, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can't get around Christmas without talking about gifts, and we see gift here, because at Christmas we celebrate the greatest gift ever given in all history. And to my dismay, the gift, because I hate wrapping gifts, it was wrapped. The gift was wrapped. We find it in Luke 2:12, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Wow, the greatest gift was wrapped. I hate wrapping gifts. I'm terrible at it. I can waste 2 yards of paper and a roll of tape on probably a gift the size of a deck of cards. And there'll still be a corner poking out, and I'll have to fix it with tape. It looks horrible. Everybody in my family knows who wrapped their present. If it was Hope, the perfect wrapper, or if it was me, my wife can take the same piece of wrapper and wrap our Suburban and still have enough left over for the spare tire. And I can't get it done. I love bags. Bags are good. This little sticky on top, and it's great. And even then, I try to push too much in that bag and pop out the corner there. Just think, if there was wrapping paper in the time of Christ Jesus. This is what Matthew would have said when you read it in the Bible. And lo, the gifts were encompassed about with 7 square cubits of paper. And the paper covered within and without with the pictures of Frosty, a man of snow. And Joseph purposed in his heart to cast that paper into the barrel of refuse. But Mary said unto him, cease, man. Drop the decorative parchment. It should be set aside for future generations. And Joseph just rolled his eyeballs. And it came to pass that the babe was more interested in the paper than the frankincense. Yes, we've seen that. That's probably what it'd be, but we did have a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, the best gift ever. And how did God give? As you probably are finishing up your Christmas gift, if you have already, good for you. Anyway, I haven't. And so if you are, let me just give you a few tips on how God gives. And let's just look at and see that this lesson of giving gifts. And the first thing is that when God gives, it's always a personal gift. It's always a personal gift. Have you ever been given a gift and the person clearly did not know you personally just because of what they gave you? I've done that. I've felt that, like, wow, I need this so bad. I like personal gifts, and when I get them, I know the person knew me, exactly who I was. Now, it was much more comfortable to preach this in the early service because my wife wasn't here. But I think she'll understand. Probably the best illustration of my life is my wedding, the day after my wedding, when we opened our gifts from our wedding. And it's really kind of a racket for the ladies. And we opened the gifts, and they were wonderful. They were dishes, place settings. Yeah, there was towels that I still dry myself off with 22 years later with. They had our names on them. That was kind of personal. Let's see, plates and toasters and crock pots. No ammo. I mean, it's a big deal. How about a rifle? So I could put something on that place setting. Brother Fred, there wasn't a lure in the pile. There wasn't. I felt like, wow, they didn't know me. Many of them did not know me. They knew Hope. And it was just not that personal. But when God gives it, it's personal. It says, but unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. To you. When Jesus gave me the gift of salvation through the grace and faith of the gospel message, it hit me right where I needed it to. It hit me personally. It was so personal. It settled my personal soul of sin and gave me peace, and he came himself to me and touched my life personally. He did not send someone else. He came himself. And he touched my life and gave me the greatest present personally in my life I've ever been given. Jesus is a personal God, and he saves each one of you personally because each one of you have personally sinned against him. For unto thee have I sinned, and only thee, done us evil in thy sight. We need a personal God to come to us personally because we've sinned personally. And he knows that. And so he comes. His gift is personal. He gave himself for each and every one of us. So make sure you buy a personal gift this Christmas. Make sure it's personal. But just remember this. There's no one that can touch you more personally than Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, you are missing Christmas. I was saved at 21 years old in the spring of 1987. 20 years after that video. And the next year I was 22, and I had the best Christmas of my life. Because for the first time, I knew Jesus forever in my heart. Hey, this gift should be personal, but it should also be practical. I like practical gifts, not too practical. At least us guys. Some ladies don't like practical gifts. A mop is practical, but don't do it. Don't do it. Maybe you should say, as one lady said to her husband, let's have practical gifts this year, like socks and fur coats and stuff like that. Those nice practical gifts. An American Express survey about Christmas gifts found that the fruitcake was chosen most often, 31% of the time, from a list of worst holiday gifts to give. Corsicana, Texas got the best fruitcake. It's the only fruitcake I'll even eat. Sorry, honey. 30% would hide it in a closet. That's what was rated. You can hide fruitcake in the closet, and I tell you what, it'll taste the same next year. 20% would return it, get your money back, I guess, at a store. 19% would give it away. That, if you've had that one, you know you've had that one. You go, oh, it's already been kind of opened. Yeah, they got it and they're giving it to you. They suggest that the Christmas fruitcake might be get recycled as a gift for the host of the New Year's party. Remember that. You'll probably get a fruitcake if you host a New Year's party. Practical means useful. It means able to help me in the real world. I was visiting Gene Foster Thursday. And I got down there, I couldn't find him in the hospital, the VA hospital. So I went searching around, they told me he was in physical therapy, so I went all the way, you know, the VA, it's like renowned, it's everywhere. And you got to walk miles. And anyway, I find him down in the basement, and he's there, and he's just getting done. So I said, great, I'll wheel you back. And so the lady's like, yes, that's a long ways. And so I'm wheeling him back, and he's got both his legs amputated off, right below the knee. And he's doing really great. He's in good spirits, just so you know. He's really trusting the Lord. And by this little illustration, you'll know he is trusting the Lord. Because he goes, I'm wheeling him down the hallway. And he goes, hey, pastor, he's about this loud. Guess what the VA hospital signed me up for last week? I said, Gene, I don't know. He goes, foot clinic. (Laughter) And he just started laughing. I started laughing. Not practical. Not the most practical thing to do. But when God gives a gift, brothers and sisters, it's so practical. When Jesus saved me and gave me the gift of salvation, it was the most practical thing, the most useful, the best thing in my real world that has ever happened to me. It changed everything in my practice. It was practical. It was at a time when I was earning wages of sin, that I was leading me to death. I was on my way to a hopeless grave without Christ, and I knew it when Jesus came and saved me from myself and my sin. And he changed my life. It actually changed my life in a practical way because it got my eyes off of me and what I didn't have from everybody else to Jesus. And it changed everything. And now I wanted to serve him and see where he wanted to lead me. And it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's been the greatest gift of having Jesus. Is this true for you? Has Jesus been the best gift ever? Any gift that would drag you out of hell? Any gift that would drag you out of death? I remember we had a fire right here in Reno. In a home, people woke up to a strange sound to find their house on fire. The strange sound came from under the Christmas tree. It was their in-laws' gift of a smoke alarm. And it still had, they put the batteries in so they didn't have to go look. And it saved their life. Any gift that would wake you up when you're going to die is a great practical gift. Amen? That's a great, well, that's what Jesus is for you. He's going to wake you up from this dead life, especially during Christmas. You know, not everybody's having a great Christmas. And I don't mean gifts. I mean, everybody's happy but me. Everybody has joy, joy, joy but me. I could tell you stories, just ruin your Christmas, really, probably. I won't go there. But James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Jesus is our perfect gift. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever sinned? Amen. Do you have sin in your life now? Yes. There is no gift that you could ever need more than the gift of forgiveness and eternal life that would be so practical for you. So, the gift must be personal, it must be practical, and for sure, it should be permanent. A permanent gift. You know, one that's yours forever. I like gifts that are forever mine. I have received gifts that were not that way. When I was young, and because my brother Marvin and I were close in age, 17 months, we would often be given gifts that we had to share. So the gift was partly his and partly mine. I get it. And grandparents, you're killing us. This was a great exercise for us in handling interrelationship problems, I suppose. But G.I. Joe got cut in half, okay? And I got the bottom part with the knife, and he got the top part with the AR. That's probably not the best. The Lincoln Log homes, Lincoln Log porches. You just divide her in half. God does not give you a gift you have to divide. You can share it. And it keeps giving. Other gifts have restrictions on them. That if not taken care of or mishandled, they would be taken back from you. And the gifts were almost always stuff like, things have changed, by the way, BB guns. I got my BB gun taken from me, and my dad had it by the barrel. I was like, don't ruin my life. And I was 10 years old. I thought he'd be proud of me. I was shooting pigeons. Flying rats, right? But I guess homing pigeons are different. First of all, they don't leave home. I like that part. Because they just kept coming by. Coming by. And the man was mad. And my dad did not break him. I said, "Dad, I thought you'd be proud of me." And he goes, "Well, I am." Wrist rockets? Yeah. Slingshot darts? Yard darts are dangerous. Bows and arrows, on occasion, my bicycle, if I didn't get home in time. These gifts got ripped from me, man. It was not right. Once a mini bike, that hurt bad. My mom took it from me because I went too far on a mini bike. Now today, what's the number one gift you take away from your children? Yeah, you got it. Cell phones. Cell phones. You can live without a cell phone. A BB gun? Not so. Not so. The other one's video games. You can live without video games. Everybody in that film never had a video game. No, that's correct. But we need permanent gifts. Well, when God gives gifts, it's permanent. We will never, He'll never take it back. He seals it with the Holy Spirit. It's a done deal. And many of us struggle with it. We call it security of the believer. But let me read you something. John 10:28-29. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." When God gives you the gift of Jesus, it's forever. And I tell you, this doctrine has set me free. Because it's always the same, folks. "Well, why do you think you've lost your salvation?" "I did something I shouldn't have done." Well, yep. "How bad was it?" "Well, have you sinned a little bit?" "Well, yeah, but that's different." I said, "Wait a minute now. So the little sin doesn't get you lost. It's a little bit bigger. How big's it got to be then?" And so then we start talking about degrees of sin. And there's whole denominations thinking there is a mortal sin. And guess what? Jesus died for them all. He shed his blood for them all. And it's a permanent gift. There's really nothing else that we could ever ask for or desire that is higher than this gift. Jesus laid it down his own life so that we could have a permanent gift. He wrapped himself in flesh and took on man. He came in born of a woman, born under the law, so he could be like me and you. So he could pay the full price. He bore our sins and took our shame. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, went to a manger, a barn. People every once in a while say, "I won't shut the door of a house." "Well, you're born in a barn." I said, "Easy, Jesus was." He was born in a barn. For me and for you, he did all this so that you could have a permanent gift. Well, lastly, folks, the gift must be personal, practical, permanent, and for sure, it needs to be purchased. It needs to be bought. We need to purchase our gifts appropriately, and it will require a sacrifice of your real wealth, your money. I heard this the other day. Did you hear about the guy that bought his wife a beautiful diamond ring for Christmas? A friend of his said, I thought she wanted one of those sporty four-wheel drive vehicles. And he said, "Well, yeah, I thought about that, but where can I find a fake Jeep?" I love that joke. Where can I find a fake Jeep? We need to purchase our gifts appropriately. I have gone to many as a homes to recover stolen property that have been given as gifts. I've opened Christmas presents under a tree to get the stolen property. That's not how we give. It's pretty much a letdown for the kids in the house when you start taking their toys out because it's all got shoplifted from Shopko. That's a pretty big letdown. It's shameful, isn't it? That we'd get a gift from fraud or theft or embezzlement to give someone a false gift. Well, you know where I'm going. Jesus, listen, it's paid in full. The gift you have in Jesus Christ, it's been paid in full. There's nothing else to pay. Stop trying and just receive Christ. He has purchased you with his blood. He has lived a sinful life for your sakes and mine. And you are saved, and it's paid in full. Just believe and trust in him. You want to obey him, not because you have to, because you want to. He's done all this. And grace is free, but it's not cheap. He that spareth not his own son, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My lands, if I gave one of my children, would I hold back anything else from you? And Christ gave his only begotten son, not that he birthed, but his only form of fellowship, intimate fellowship he gave. Do you not know that you're bought with a price? You're not your own. You're purchased, and it's completely paid for. This is the greatest gift in Christmas. The reason Jesus was born in a manger is lost in the tinsel of this holiday celebration. In the midst of all the shopping and the gift giving, we often lose sight of the real gift of Christmas. The fact that God purchased our salvation with his own blood so that he could save me and could save you. I'd have to join Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I want to ask you just 4 questions, and we're going to close here. First of all, number one, and I want to know if you can say yes to all of these. Has Jesus been made personal in your life as your Savior and your Lord? Is this a personal thing? Is he speaking to you daily? Are you going to him? Is Christmas so about Jesus in your heart? Number two, has the gift of salvation in Jesus helped you practically in your daily life? Has it moved you? Has it changed you? Has it touched you? Thirdly, has Jesus been a gift in your life that you see is permanent and forever? This is how it is. This is what we're in. We're stuck with Jesus. Amen? Amen. I look at my wife every once in a while and I said, well, you're stuck with it right here. And we go, amen. I like to be stuck with her. Boy, we're stuck with Jesus for eternity. That's such a blessing. And lastly, do you know that the purchase of this great gift was the life of Christ for your sins? Have you accepted that? Have you fled to that? If you can answer yes to each of these questions, I think you're really set on a course to have a great Christmas here in about 18 days. But if you can't say yes to any of those, you can still have a great Christmas. Because I want you to know the offer's still laying out here. The door's not been closed. The church age is here. Grace is available to you and for me. Do you know Jesus like this?